to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on Earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Hey, hey, everybody. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and this is a pre-recorded interview for February 16th, 2016. And today I have my very special guest, Sheldon Neidel. We're going to be reviewing just a bunch of different kinds of questions about what's going on the planet. And Sheldon, if any of you have not heard of him, he was born in New York City and grew up in Buffalo. He has had an amazing life full of extraterrestrial and UFO experiences shortly after his birth. And these were highlighted through many kind of contact phenomena. He had light form communications, extraterrestrial visitations, teaching and learning sessions, etc. It is one of the reasons why so many of us follow his newsletter, because he brings an immense amount of detail as to knowing what's really going on in the other realms of this life we call reality. Anyway, most of his life he's been enjoying these telepathic communications and his direct core knowledge. He has visually observed and physically experienced spacecraft throughout all of these years. Around the age of 14, he requested that the Sirians and the Galactic Federation of Light allies discontinue communications because he was becoming very overwhelmed with all the knowledge and, of course, the difference in how it was on the ship versus planet Earth. He left, but the Sirians told him that they would be back when it was time for him to complete his mission. And guess what? He's back in full force now. So I would love for you all to hear today. I think today is a very special day with Sheldon and myself, just because we can feel really palpable movement and acceleration on the planet. So Sheldon, I just want to thank you for coming on before we dive in. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm okay so far, like I said.
So, you know, one question I've always wanted to ask you is, do you feel that you're being more contacted now? Do you feel like the pace of transmissions and communications you're receiving from the ships and from the Syrians, for example, has kind of picked up a pace a bit?
A bit, yes, it has. I've discovered that, you know, I'm in constant contact anyways, but the amount of materials that they will tell me above a certain level, and then kind of cuts off, because when I get into dates and things, they don't want to really talk about that. They want to remain relatively general. But yes, the amount of things they are talking about is definitely increased.
Well, that's good news, you know. And, you know, one thing I think a lot of people have asked me and written into me about is you probably took a little bit of heat last year. I know you were sharing in some of your newsletters that there was definitely going to be some prosperity funds arriving. And then in your newsletters, you mentioned that there was a bit of a change. And I was wondering if you could expand upon that.
Okay. Last year, certain things were supposed to happen. The Federation people involved with it directly, with those people on this planet, the ancient families, the royals, etc., that were supposed to do this, they kind of backed off on their pace, went into security modes, and that upset the Federation people, because they knew that all the stuff that they were suddenly hearing from them was based upon some last-minute nervousness. And fortunately, this year, it appears that all this stuff from last year is not going to repeat itself, and actually we're going, in this month, actually going to start seeing some things. The exact dates, once again, they won't tell me exact dates. They just tell me things like it's very, very close, and things like that.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, we don't need to get hung up on dates. I totally agree with you. Now, you also mentioned that royal families and ancient families were involved in this. Could you maybe clarify a little bit more about what specific royal families you feel are benevolent in their views and
well,
in their assistance?
Well, there's parts, Andrea, Alexandria, of people who are involved in this, or the younger members, certain groups of the royals in Europe, the royal families, many of them deposed, who have been working very hard with various other people who have expertise in legalities and other things, going through the courts, making sure that security was there and actually allowing it. Same thing with the ancient families. And with the ancient families, there's also the secret societies that were set up by the Ascended Masters in Europe. And all these groups are basically under Saint Germain in Europe, Kuan Yin in China. And what these families are doing is following these directives to take all this stuff that they've had forever, the gold, the secret jewelry and all that stuff, to allow it to finally be used to bring out prosperity funds. And this is very, very close. I'm talking about the prosperity funds and the humanitarian funds. Both of them have finally been officially released. Now there's a process of bringing all of this stuff, the various monies, et cetera, through into the point where they can actually be delivered or as wires be put in certain accounts. And that's what is going on right now. Now, we're supposed to be extremely close to all of this stuff. And another thing that's going to happen with that, Nassar has been tied in very, very closely with the prosperity funds, especially those of Saint Germain, because that is the things that we're getting in this country, since it's from Europe to North America where we are. So we are all very close, not only to this monies, but to new governance. So I look at all of this and cross my fingers, because I would like it to happen sooner than later.
Yeah, no kidding. I think we're all in agreement with that. I know that you must really be on the cutting edge of receiving information, because I noticed your next webinar is all about the release of these prosperity funds.
Right. We're going to talk about after abundance, and I have been assured again and again and again that the end of this month, sometime, we're only at the 12th now as we speak, that's another 17 days. So sometime in that two-week-plus period, things aren't supposed to happen. So I hear that from everybody about everything's working out, things are happening. I know that the humanitarian funds have been released at their main point, which is in Asia, and are working their way around the world. So what we know is that the prosperity funds are also tied into the humanitarian funds, so we know that they are approaching a release point as well. So all we can do, as I said, is cross our fingers and hope it's sooner than later.
Right, right. And do you agree that the release of these funds ultimately will be targeting the light workers themselves who have been dedicating their lives to the assistance of Lady, you know?
Oh, yes. The vast majority of people who are in the prosperity programs, and a lot that are in the humanitarian programs, are indeed people who want to use these funds to make this a better world, help solve problems around the world that have to do with water, which is a major thing. Also funds to bring people out of poverty into prosperity, solve problems with inner cities because of that, find jobs, actually do all the stuff that we hear the politicians talking about right now, as well as bringing up centers to bring in new healings, etc. So what we have right now is that when these funds occur, I fully expect that what is to happen is all this will start to manifest, and we will start seeing wonderful things that we have been waiting for a long time to happen to finally manifest, which is what I am looking for as well.
I have to say, you know, this is definitely, it has been a very intense month, and I find just with a lot of the clients that I have who are very enlightened individuals, this is a pretty tough month for a lot of people, and there's unprecedented feelings of oppression, a lot of intensity about emotions, old stuff. Can you comment on that?
Sure. What is happening is February, the start of February, the first 4 or 5 days of it, was a little letting down of tension. But what they've been doing now, which will go all the way into March, is they are stepping up the whole ascension process, which means that all the ascension symptoms that people go through, which include things like anxiety and stress, et cetera, as they release all the old energies that are accrued in their body because of childhood or other things that happened right after childhood, all that is now being released. And so it is causing all kinds of health crisis, all kinds of anxiety crisis, et cetera. So, yeah, I wouldn't doubt at all that all these things are coming. And, of course, it's going to increase as we head toward March, which is supposed to be another very strict time because of some major solar activity that's stepping up for March. So I look at all of this, and you can see that they would like, meaning the galactics as well as heaven, would like very much for all our problems that hold us back from being farther up the ascension tree, so to speak. They would like all of that stuff to be eliminated. So that's why people are going through it. I mean, I've been through it myself. In November, I had a very serious crisis with my back. I wasn't able to walk. When I got up or tried to walk, I had to use walkers and all kinds of crazy things.
Oh, Sheldon.
But it was part of this process of just clearing, and sometimes it brings on health crisis, as I went through in November and December and part of January. So I understand people going through this not only as a severe health crisis, but as a mental and emotional one as well.
Yes, yes. And I want to add to that, one of the things, the messages that I've been receiving as well from guidance is these situations, these crises, whether they're physical or emotional, we are really the ones that are being called to release them, not just on an individual basis. Mm-hmm. When we're doing our healing work, we're really being called to intend that we release that whole band of frequency that is attached to that circumstance or issue. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I've been finding this a great deal. We had three major blew our minds healings, Sheldon, where it was really clearly felt around the world with these three individuals that let go of some very deep-seated pain within themselves. So people should not discount that this is actually a blessing. You know, we're being used almost as a surrogate for the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so. So, yeah, hey, one of the biggest headlines right now is, I'm not sure if you saw it, but supposedly John Kerry came forth and said that he has agreed to implement a nationwide cessation of hostilities. And it says this will apply to all parties in Syria with the exception of the terrorist organizations and any others designated by the Security Council.
Well, the whole problem of the migration of peoples from Syria is a major world problem right now. So what we need to understand when we look at that is that it's a major problem and that it has to be solved. And so it's reached the point where you're now getting in mainstream news people being forced to acknowledge that and have truces. And that's what this is all about. Their hope is by the summer to have the entire process of a peace treaty in Syria done, so that whole massive disaster of the Syrian rebellion or whatever is done, and that the parties involved with it, from the regular government people, Assad, all the way to the rebels and all the other groups in between, reach agreements where they can resolve all of this and form a new government in Syria and allow Syria then to move forward to a massive rebuilding project, because there's lots of money scheduled, but it cannot be implemented until there's peace. And so, and that also stems the whole problem of this massive migration. And the hope is that with peace in the area, that we can then have a migration from Europe back to the Middle East, back to Syria and the environs, which will allow for all the stuff, you might say the pro-ante stuff, all the problems by the massive rebuilding of that region. And that, what it looks like, is about to happen.
It's almost like going into the post-war era of World War II, isn't it?
It has many parallels to the so-called Marshall Plan that is being planned for that region once some semblance of peace is here. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, and it's almost as if we could turn a few things into a positive, because it could create a lot of economic support and job opportunities.
Exactly.
So,
and that's really what's required, because there is an instability in Europe right now which has to be resolved, and that is something that peace and a rebuilding in the Middle East can solve by having many people migrate back, and many other people, the pressure put on them because their communities were kind of messed up, suddenly getting stability to make peace with other communities in Europe as well as in the Middle East. And once we resolve that in Europe and the Middle East problems, then we're humanitarian-wise in a whole new era, and that's what we're seeing being worked to. There are people around the world right now working very heavily and deeply and diligently on resolving this whole thing. And what Secretary Kerry said is just one of the many things that is being forced to happen right now.
That's so awesome. Now, what did you think about the Super Bowl? I was very amazed that the message was believe in love, and I didn't see a whole lot of Illuminati symbology and things like that. What do you think about that?
Well, that's just another sign of what we're talking about. We are in a transition that's increasing. Consciousness is rising tremendously. That's why we haven't had a world war, thank God. And every attempt by that group, by the cabal, to force a war situation has failed. Except, of course, for local conflicts like Syria, which have been going on, it seems like, forever.
Yes.
But the majority of it is that violence around the world is down a little bit. And when we get the Syrian thing taken care of, and then hopefully the Palestinian-Israeli thing taken care of, the Middle East can finally move toward a situation that it should have been in 30 years ago.
Yeah, no kidding.
But that is what is happening, and it's not happening not only here, but in South America. We have many revolutions that have been going on for a long time, like the one in Colombia, that are resolving. So peace around the world is growing now, which is a wonderful thing to see, and to see it manifested.
Oh, that's just awesome. I also noted that there was in headline mentioning Canada had sold off nearly half of its gold reserves. What do you think that's all about?
once again, that's adjustments to this whole process of preparing the world to change its currency system from this fiat system, which the cabal set up, to returning to a true value gold-backed or precious metal-backed currency system, so that the whole world's trade system can return to normal. You know, right now it's skewed all over the place because of the federal dollar, and that hopefully will be over with very shortly.
And I felt, too, that it was a representation of shifts within the United States, because Canada and the United States are basically both, you know, British colonies, so to speak. And
Technically, if we were to talk about the origins of our present constitution from 1871 to the present, and the fact that around the same time in 1867, Canada was given its quote-unquote independence, we're kind of tied at the ankle or the hip or whatever you want to say.
Definitely. Shackled would be more the word, huh?
Right.
And another thing that was just absolutely cool was apparently there's been information coming out through David Wilcox interviews about Sitchin's Sumerian text translations. Have you heard about this?
No.
Apparently they've dropped some intel stating that the information that Sitchin wrote in his Earth Chronicles books was actually admitted to a friend of his, that he was told what to write by the Anunnaki, to promote false alien religions. That was another bomb that was just dropped.
Oh, that's fascinating. And the truth is slowly coming out.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's wonderful. I didn't hear that before.
Yeah. And now, just so everybody has clarity, there has been information flying around the Internet about what is the difference between the Galactic Federation and the Galactic Federation of Light. One has been posed as being a CIA front and, you know, kind of hijacking the beauty and the light of the true, faction of the light. What is your comment on that?
Well, as far as I go, I've been involved with the Galactic Federation of Light since I was a kid, so I know them. There may be some groups that are trying to do misinformation. I've noticed that there was a whole bunch of groups a couple of years ago that were trying to make the Galactic Federation sound evil, which upset me, but I've learned not to get involved with all that stuff because the waves flow by, and why waste your time on something that is just going to get you a lot of difficulty? So I never really bother with it. But there has been some negativity done in an effort to discredit, which is, of course, one of the things that the cabal loves to do. It's almost a specialty of theirs.
Very true. And that leads me to my next question, which is, what do you recommend people do in this so-called election year, where we're just seeing the circus again, where it's the Clintons versus the Bushes, and there are very specific individuals that are coming forth to run for office, whether it's president, vice president, or one of the key positions, who have some respect within our, let's just say, community? How do we discern what their true intentions are?
Well, we have to know that ultimately you get in the White House, it is controlled by the dark cabal, because the group in Wall Street, Chicago, L.A., and other places is pretty well running this whole country. They have for ever since the end of World War II. So what we have to understand is what we really need is a new governance. So really, I always say to people, go Nassar, go. Come on, manifest. Because we need a clean out. We need a tremendous clean out. You know, dump Congress, dump the presidency, dump the various aspects of the various departments, and also change the Supreme Court and actually get a real judicial act. You know, there never has been a true judicial act that understands and defines the Supreme Court and the federal court system. It's always been very obscuring how it was all put together, and of course it's totally all illegal. And the whole process right now is the return of Nassar, return of common law, the return of true constitutional law, and that's what we need. Anything else is a farce. So we've been playing this farce game, and it doesn't really matter. Presidents aren't really elected. They're selected by these guys. And when they say, well, this is the better candidate to do the stuff that we want to get done, whatever it is, they just get behind, create situations, and get them elected. It's happened every time.
Yeah. It's such a waste of resources and attention. It's just a distraction.
Oh, that's all it is. It's 6 to 8 months of distraction.
Totally. And a tremendous amount of waste of money. So now, Sheldon, I know you've taken a little bit of heat on this latest announcement where you're really promoting James Twyman's meditation because it's aligning with the Pope. I thought I would give you the opportunity to comment on that and let people know where you stand regarding the Pope at this time.
I'm kind of ambiguous about the Pope because there's so much material, both pro and con. But Twyman is who he is. He's Irish, so he included what he would consider natural, and he has a certain different view about it than I do. But so be it. If people want to take what some man earnestly and innocently does and make it into a negative, that's once again something that the cabal is pretty good at. So their job is to make everybody dazed and confused. So it was all about peace and love, and that's the important part.
Okay, cool. I just thought I'd give you the opportunity. So now there's some major heat in the alternative health industry. And I think you've probably become aware of there have just been numerous alternative doctors and homeopaths that have been taken out.
Exactly, yeah.
And they're actually branding vitamins as poisonous. They're making it very, very difficult for people that sell natural products to be able to even do it without spending an exorbitant amount of money legally so that they're not breaking the law by, selling these wares to the world. What do you see is the future in that this year? I mean, what's your feeling about how that's going to unfold?
Well, of course, the oligarchy, the cabal, whatever phrase you want to use, wants to take out any concept of alternative medicine because they put their millions and billions and trillions into this whole concept of what Big Pharma is all about and what the AMA, their cohort, is all about, with, of course, hospitals added into the triad. The thing that we need to understand is that with Nassar coming in, which it should very shortly, all of this will go away. Alternative medicine will finally be released, and that will be the end of it. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Otherwise, it's bleak.
Yeah, because they've really stepped up a lot of ridiculous laws in a lot of areas. I mean, really challenging our freedoms even further than they already have.
Well, you know, the vaccination scare and all that stuff is part of that whole process.
Yes. So I know this kind of, this is an old topic, but I would really like you to clarify for everybody, what is your view on Nibiru, and is it truly something that's going to come into our solar system, et cetera, and create havoc? Have we already gotten through that whole thing? There's just so much spin on that on the internet.
Well, it goes back and forth. There's almost like a system. It goes for a year, then it spends a few months off, and then it starts over again. And it keeps grinding out the same stuff that they had that few 8, 9, 10 months to a year ago, and they keep it up. Basically, Nibiru was a former battle planet of the Federation. The Anunnaki got on it, and with the Federation back in the solar system, none of the stuff that they have been talking about with Nibiru is going to happen. It's going to be just the opposite. It'll be eventually turned into a planet, which they can do very easily with some architectural shifts happening from the Elohim. So the important thing for us to understand is this is just another scare tactic. And with all the so-called astrological photographs and everything else, it's just trying to make it look as real as it is when it isn't. So I just would like to warn everybody to just pretty much ignore it. Don't get upset about it. Don't let it bother you. And just know that at the right time, when contact finally happens, you'll get the full story about it. And it'll be a lot different than all the stuff you've had to read and or think about or see posted on the internet or whatever. Just know that most of it is exaggerated manipulations. And just let it be at that and move forward.
Do you feel that Nibiru is actually a ship?
It's a ship.
Yeah,
a ship.
Okay. I thought so.
And a huge ship.
Now, what about the view of the two suns? Even myself, when I was driving back from Vegas, I got a picture of that with my own two eyes.
Those are refractions. The thing we have to understand is there is one sun, and there are all these other planets going around it. And I just don't, I've never really bought into that two suns thing. There's one sun, and that's that.
Okay. Now, how do you feel about the changes that have gone on regarding CERN, the Hadron-CERN Collider? Any news on that?
No, they're just watching it. If any strange, weird stuff happens, they'll take care of it. So I just look at it this way. The Federation is doing its job as best it can, considering this cover-up going on. And they can't really keep it together like they would like to. So they have to just cautiously do a little stuff here and a little stuff there. And so they are keeping, you know, the oceans are radioactive, but they're not as terribly radioactive as they could be. In other words, the west coast of the United States, if it wasn't for the Federation, would, yes, there'd be radiation, but we would all be getting Hiroshima-like sick, and we would all be in tremendous trouble. Most of us are not. There are some cases, but mostly it is not that at all. So we have to really deep dig into our consciousness and realize they're doing the best they can to help. They are making sure the whole situation doesn't get out of hand. There was two near meltdowns, which could have basically radioactivized and killed and wiped out Japan, and those did not happen. And the scientists who work in this industry know that what had happened in Japan with the reactors is absolutely a miracle. So they know that something's happening, but of course they won't tell you that frankly. And so I look at all of this and I say, well, they're doing the best they can. If they had their way, they would come down in mass and clean up the oceans and change the radioactive problems. But that would be such a massive near landing situation that it would scare everybody, because
yeah,
everybody has this strange view about alien invaders, so they have to watch that. They're kind of caught in a conundrum between how much can we do and how much is permitted.
And this is all deliberately created, Sheldon. I mean, the dark knew at this time that that's what they were going to want to do, and they made damn sure that the mass consciousness is going to be fearing alien so-called landings.
Right, exactly.
You
that's
know?
Why they're hoping with the new governments to have an actual chance to speak to the world and finally put all this stuff to rest, because the propaganda from movies, magazines, etc., the internet included, is massive. And you add it up to 50, 60, 70 years of this stuff going on, it's a pretty incredible psychological whammy that the human population has been thrown at for a long time. And it's going to take some real looking at and some real examination by every one of us after we get the proper information. And they realize that can only happen if the governments will permit that to happen. Once again, it's what can we do versus what's allowed. And so they would like the what's allowed to get up to what we want to do. And so they have not yet got there, but it's close. New governments are very close. So what we need to do is understand that there are difficulties on this planet, but they are capable of being resolved, and there are also people on this planet who are working very hard also to resolve them.
Yes.
So let's look at the whole problem and remember one thing. This whole process is about us learning to trust ourselves, A, and B, be in a love energy about everything and accept it. So they understand that, and they realize exactly what kind of stuff, all this propaganda, all these announcements, etc., which have happened for, what, decades now. And they realize that they have to diffuse all of that, and it'll only happen when we have a direct contact. And so they understand that. So once again, this thing I've been talking about, what's allowed versus what they can do, you know, the total amount. I mean, if they wanted to, they could come down and completely take care of all the major problems on this planet, but they can't do that right now because that would be looked at by the people from all the propaganda that this is a prelude to invasion. They don't want to scare the hell out of people. They want people to be in love and acceptance of all that's happening.
Right. And I remind people, too, some people say, well, you know, to hell with their fear. Let's just get the job done. But what they're not understanding is the frequency impact this would have on the entire mission.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
You got it right on. You're right on the target there.
Yeah. So now, hey, Sheldon, clarify for everybody. How many ships do you feel are now in the vicinity of this planet?
At least a million.
Yeah, so I want everybody to really let that sink in, how much support we're getting. And I can't agree with you more. When we're talking about radiation in the oceans and things like that, we need to understand we're stepping into becoming a galactic human, and with that comes the responsibility to step into your authority that you can convert that food. I wanted to know what you had to say about that.
Oh, that's very important. The responsibility and the understanding of our potential is extremely important. That's what all this rising up of consciousness is about. It's preparing us to understand and accept what we're supposed to do toward the end of this, which is, as you said, becoming a galactic human. The process of us moving from where we were a couple decades ago to where we're meant to be when this whole thing is completed, it's an immense task because it has to be done fast enough so that heaven's edicts are met. It also needs to be done slow enough so that we don't get scared and move off the center. We have to maintain the center, which is love, caring, and responsibility of what's going on. At the same time, we have to understand that, okay, all the stuff that's happening to us, all the ascension symptoms, that's part of the process of clearing out all the crap that we have put in ourselves, all the fears, all the worries, all the concerns, all the crises we've gone through. It's all in there. It's all stuck in there. And what we have to realize is that the ascension symptoms are part of a process of clearing this as well as preparing us by having many of our new chakra systems introduced at the minimum level so that we can tolerate them. But the process itself is moving us from where we were, let's say at the end of World War II, to where we will be in this 21st century as fully conscious beings. And so they have to look along this in total scale and work it in such a way that, once again, it makes heaven happy that they're meeting these edicts and also makes them happy. They know that they can still move us quickly towards the actual ascension process. So this is also another little conundrum that the Federation works through every day.
And, you know, you were so succinct in the way you just put that, and I want to thank you for that. I mean, you just have such a way of really just making it so black and white as far as clarity. I really appreciate it. You know, a lot of us are still very involved in doing planetary work, working with grids, gates, portals, etc., to try to ease this transition. We're working a lot with the Allied Forces. What is your opinion about how many timelines are we still contending with?
I'd say we just have two left. There's the remnant of the dark one, and there's the light one. And the light one has just about completely gotten rid of this dark timeline. The dark timeline before the Anunnaki left in 95 was simply to move us toward a point where they could begin to make genetic changes that, of course, heaven said they were not allowed to do. And then heaven would have been forced to reveal its timelines quickly, and this could have caused some difficulties on this planet. And luckily, the Anunnaki left in 95. The minions, the Cabal, didn't really fully understand this very gentle process of moving it forward and have made a lot of mistakes over the last two decades, thank God.
Yes.
And now the light is on top again, and the victory that we expect is very close to happening.
Right on. I love to hear stuff like that. Now, this is just a conversation that's so near and dear to my heart. I'd really like to talk to you more about the Agarthan Council. Are you able to depict who it is comprised of and how many seats are actually at that council?
The people who are in the Garfin Council, of course, the Garfins, who are the last fully conscious remnants of Lemuria, or Mu, or whatever phraseology you would prefer to explain it. It's, in fact, the name of Agartha is Lemurian for inner earth. And when people realize that inner Ertha is the original word for this planet in that language. So what we have to really understand, these are fully conscious beings inside our planet. The planet is hollow, as is every other thing in the universe. That is a planet or a star. And as a result, they are using their energies. They are among us as well, who are researching, working, and using their powers and abilities to permit an abundance for our planet and our shift in consciousness to reach all the way to the full conscious potentials of ourselves. So they are helping. And they, many of them are people who have had lots of lives on this planet, as well as now they're inside, and they are using their wisdom to work toward helping us to better understand, as they work with the Ascended Masters, to allow all of us to understand what is happening to us, to not be afraid, to move forward, to center it all in our love, our responsibilities, and our concern for a better way. And once we understand all of that, and we take our responsibility and move it into ourselves and see that we are part of this and that theirs is a message of guidance, everything moves forward. And that's what I really feel what their membership is about and what they are doing. I cannot say attempting, but they are doing.
That was excellent. Thank you. I learned a few things on that. And they are acting truly as a liaison between the allied forces as well and the human populace, are they not?
Yes, they are. They are very concerned about all of this moving forward. And since they also have inner Earth bases from the Federation, they house the Ascended Masters, they understand what is going on this planet, and they very much want us to understand what this consciousness shift is all about, and they want us to comprehend that the basis of all of this is the increased amount of light that's moving into us and the increased amount of love. And so what it is about is understanding exactly what light and love really is about and how this ties into what's happening to us. Because if you look at people right now, 20 years ago, some of the stuff we're talking about as mainstream was thought of by the average person who was involved in this as crazy. I know when I first got involved with this in the 90s, I found out that my largest single group of people that could not accept this were those who are into angelic guidance, etc. And they have now switched completely where they understand with the Ascended Masters what's happening. So this is what has been happening as consciousness rises up. The whole process of how even the light workers work with one another and communicate with one another is opening up, and certain things that were considered taboo are now open for discussion. So I'm very happy with all of this happening. And it allows all of us then to take on responsibilities and understand that all of the stuff happening to us, all the ascension symptoms, is part of a natural process of moving us towards a reconnect with our spiritual and space families, that all of them are included, and that whether we're connecting with the Agarthans or the Galactic Federation or the Angelics or whatever group, that this is all part of a connected aspect of life on this planet and throughout the universe. And as we begin to understand and accept that, it changes a lot of basic ways in which people look at how they perceive what's going on. And that really is important, and it has allowed all of us to come together in love and light and be a more unified force. And that's why I feel the successes we're having is because the comprehensive visions of all of us is now coming together and interconnecting with one another.
Wow. Well, that leads me perfectly into another question I have. I can't wait to hear what you have to say on this one. A very respected light worker out on the internet has shared the following, and I thought it was very interesting. She feels very strongly that we really are moving into the 6th, 7th, and 8th dimensional bands rather than the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. What would you say regarding that?
Well, we have that potential, But we're still down in the third and the fourth, moving toward the fifth and the sixth. And until we're fully able to be reunited with our full potentiality, we can't really go any higher. I really feel that it's a case of steps. And so we have to complete this step, which I like to look at as the ascension process, in order for us to fully understand what is happening. And once we fully understand that, and have actually gone through and comprehended what's happening and manifested that through our changes in the ascension process to fully conscious beings, only then will we be able to move into the upper levels of the sixth and even understand the seventh and eighth, because the seventh and eighth is mostly non-corporeal beings, and it's a whole different reality. Non-corporeal beings hardly ever come down to our reality.
So also what you're alluding to is that some are possibly already operating within those dimensional levels.
They are.
So this may apply to some, but not most, maybe.
Yeah, very, very select few who are actually here to do a certain mission and are star seeds and are here for the first time and are doing a process that they were told by heaven to do. And therefore, it's different. It doesn't apply to the whole, as I was trying to explain.
Right. And, you know, it goes right into so many of us have come here for this mission, and we keep forgetting, you know, I keep getting emails about people that, oh, I can't wait to just get out of here, when in fact the whole reason we are coming here is to really reap the reward and the beauty of truly walking and aligning with your own mother, Mother Earth.
Exactly.
And I don't think we really get that. You know, the whole, I want you to address this whole compression philosophy that, you know, everybody talks so much about, how there's so much light coming from below us. There's so much light coming from above us. There's very little area in between those two at this point. And how is that really impacting us regarding our light quotient? Regarding, you know, we already know we're going through ascension processes, but how is this affecting our physical bodies? Meaning, you know, people read about moving from, you know, a carbon-based body to a silica-based body. How does that actually look and feel?
Well, it looks and feels a lot different than most of us, or just about all of us, can comprehend. How can I put this? It's something that will happen when we're fully conscious. We will see that as we become more ethereal and we change into a more crystal-like formation of how our bodies are put together from the lower density carbon level that we now have, it's a whole process of change, and it requires a certain level of consciousness to fully understand it. We aren't there yet, because when we got pushed into limited consciousness, a large part of our intelligence, whether the intelligence that comes from our heart or the intelligence that comes from our mind, is not the level that we can understand this all right now. Because let's look at our head. We operate only at 10, or at the men, some extremely intelligent person, 20%. Fully conscious being like a Dhamma or an Agarthan or any Federation guy like Washta is 100%. So we were forced down into this by the Atlanteans' little plot to resolve a difficulty in their planetary view of the world. They did not want people who were in a revolutionary mode to be fully conscious. That would mean it would limit them. So they put us into this little lab and pulled this little surprise on us, and here we are, you might say millennia later. We don't fully understand all that's going on, and we can't really understand what it's like to not be a very dense carbon-based being. We can understand maybe on an intellectual or a intuitive way, but we can't really fully comprehend it. It's like a little blur of what's the truth about it, because that's all we're really capable of right now. So we just have to understand it's there. We will one day very soon be changed, and then it'll be old hat to us. But right now, it's a lot of perceptive surmising theory, as unfortunately most of present-day science is. It's not about theory. It's about actuality. And we can't really get there, because we can't really surmise it right now, because It's like a person in three dimensions trying to figure out exactly what a sixth or seventh dimensional reality looks like. It's just impossible.
Well, that's a good point. But, well, okay, on to another theory that I have, and I want to hear what you have to say. You know, there's some radical changes going on with the tectonic plates. We mm-hmm. read about it all the time. We know that there's volcanoes and there's all kinds of stuff going off, a lot of rattling and rolling of potential earthquakes. There was a significant, something like a 4-foot drop of a tectonic plate in the upper coast of Washington. And I really do feel that the shifting of the tectonic plates is really the root of the core of the changes of consciousness. It's almost as if each of the tectonic plates represents perhaps a plane of consciousness within our brain and how we function, how we process, you know, the information that comes in. I'd like to know from you, what do you feel that that represents on a more etheric basis? Because it seemed to be fairly radical. And of course, all the fear porn that was wrapped around it did not ultimately take place.
What we need to understand is the process that Gaia is going through right now. She's taking all her tectonic plates and moving them together. And what is going to happen is the tectonic plates are going to come together and the planet is going to expand. This expansion is equivalent to the expansion of what's happening to us when we come together completely, physically, with all the stuff that's happening to us, and it's finally ready to actually move from a present lower level of consciousness, carbon element, to a fully conscious crystalline mind, then we will be ready to do this change. And of course, even the ancient Mayan, if you go way back 1,000+ years ago, they knew about this. They called this meeting up in energies, they called it the Tum, which means the diamond mind. They knew we were moving toward a crystalline form. And this was to be the ultimate concept of wisdom. And they've had, when people get into the mind, they get intermediately the whole concept of the crystal mind. And this is what the Earth is also doing. I always believe these so-called, quote-unquote, primitive peoples knew more about what was going on than we do right now.
Definitely.
And they understand this shift in consciousness. You know, the Mayan, when their civilization reached a certain level of protracted violence, they just walked into the jungle. We don't want to do this anymore, and they just left. And this is what we have to understand. We can't keep up at this. There comes a point when we have to change, only we're not going to walk into the proverbial jungle. We're going to walk together in higher consciousness as fully conscious people. That was really what their civilizations initially were about, but it went in different directions because, once again, we humans, when we get in positions of power, play power games on one another, and that's what started happening. And so after a certain period of time, the minds just left. And this is something that we also have to understand about the nature of who and what we are, which is the psychology of who and what we are. And that points to the fact that we need deeply to comprehend the fact that limited consciousness is what it is, and there is going to be a change. And so if you take the wisdom, you will get the Tum, the diamond mind, which also ties into the heart energy. The minds, as well as the Aztecs, understood the basis of life, as did the Egyptians and the Chinese. Now, the basis of life, the basis of love, the basis of the soul is the heart. We need to understand and be one in our heart energy, not in our mind energy. And we have to take our mind energy and turn it into this tomb, this diamond mind, which connects with the crystalline energies of the heart. And when we do that, we become wisdom, we arise. And this was the ultimate being that was talked about in all the philosophies of all the ancient peoples, is that. And so we need to take that, see the wisdom that it contains, and go with it and understand that this consciousness revolution we're having has a purpose, and it will not require us to do the equivalent of what the Mayans and many other civilizations did, which is simply abandon their civilization and walk away from it. We need to walk away from this civilization by moving into a higher reality, and that basically is what this present time is all about. So when you look at the Earth is simply saying, I'm moving toward my crystalline Earth. I'm going to expand into a fully conscious being. It is your mind that needs to also transform. So everything that's been happening, that the Earth has been doing right now, all the energies put out, is once again acting to positively reinforce this change. The changes in the Earth are mirroring the changes in ourselves. So as the Earth moves towards this change to a crystalline Earth, it expects us, from all the energy that it's giving, as well as all the energy that is coming from both inside ourselves and from heaven, to help move us swiftly as possible towards understanding that we need to develop our crystalline mind and our magnificent heart energies and bring them all together. And that's what she is working on. She wants us to know. So everything that happens, I mean, how many earthquakes have there been in the ocean where people expected one of these 100-mile-tall tsunamis to suddenly plunge in some Asian country or some island nation and totally cause massive disasters like that one that happened in Thailand quite a few years ago? So we have to understand that what is happening is not Earth changes, as is put in all these disaster movies, but what is really happening is the Earth is changing to help us understand that it is free and it is desired for us to move forward in consciousness toward becoming fully conscious again. That's what she is really trying to do. And indeed, everything you're picking up is part of this entire process of making sure that we understand that as she changes, she would like us likewise to change.
Perfect. And, you know, the last time I interviewed you, which was about 6 months ago, I remember you talking about Earth changes, and it just fired me up enough to start communicating with her about what can we do, those that do a lot of work with the planet, to assist in easing the changes that she needs to go through so that there is less loss of life and less intensity. And I was basically told that the more we do, the easier things are going to be.
Exactly. We have to create collective envisioning so that we move forward and acknowledge what's happening with her. So there's kind of this innate communications between all of us so that we understand that we love our planet, she loves us, and we're all busily being nudged forward by her to create this new reality, which is our destiny.
Perfect. So, question on history, because I know that you have so often been sitting on the ships and receiving the truth about our history. Can you share some little-known facts behind the Declaration of Independence that perhaps none of us maybe know about?
Well, one little thing we have to understand is what the Count did, what Count Saint Germain did, was change the whole concept of what John Locke had done in the 1688-1689 English Revolution, the Parliamentary Revolution. What he did was simply change one little phrase, which is, of course, the whole concept of life, liberty, and property. He changed it to life, liberty, and happiness. Now, happiness, the permanent joy of the mind and of the heart, is a basis of being fully conscious. You're in joy. Matter of fact, in Syrian, the name for the creator is Jah-Tah, means the joy of heaven. So that's what he was moving. He wanted us to understand that in pursuing our happiness, it's not some idle, what today we call hippie-like thing. It's something that deals with bringing peace to our soul and bringing ultimate joy to our beingness. And that was what that whole thing was about. Jefferson accepted it because he understood the wisdom of what they called the old man. The old man he made the Constitution happen. He made the Declaration of Independence happen. He explained to them, they always talk about this myth of the man in the strange man in the dark from the upper levels of the hall talking about our responsibilities and bringing forth the Declaration to be successful. And that is what is happening right now. We are reexamining that process, and we are going to work toward reestablishing what the Constitution was all about and what our independence is all about. It's about unity, hence the rise of unity consciousness. It's all about love, hence all the different philosophies about love that are now on the up right now, because we realize that the light is about love and the light is also about responsible love. In other words, you do those things because you love and care for them, and as such, you take on the responsibility of making sure that everything moves toward a natural conclusion and then moves in a cycle back on and around and around. And so we understand what light and love is all about, and we understand about how responsibilities fit into that.
Oh, thank you. Now, tell me something about the history of the dragons. Everybody is talking about the dragons now. You know, we hear all about the dragon families, but what I would like you to do is tell us the root historical value that they play in the transition that we're going through now.
We have to understand the initial concept of wisdom in ancient China is the dragon. The dragon is the symbol of wisdom. All basic levels of whatever you look at, you'll see the dragon represented. It's an essential aspect of, you might say, transposing what wisdom is about in all the different philosophies that represent wisdom are dragon energies. And so they have all the different colors, all the different elements. Now, the families came out of this. Kuan Yin had these ancient families. They were aligned with, of course, dragon energies. And so she gave them the monies and the power and et cetera, but only under one condition, that at a proper moment, those aspects that represented resources like money, etc., would be released. Of course, back then it was just gold and silver. There's money, as we know it today, is a very couple hundred years in the West concept. So maybe 900 years at the most. Other than that, it was just gold and silver. But the important thing we have to really understand is that these represent this dragon wisdom, and that they are moving forward as families to achieve these purposes that were given by Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin is the most revered person in China. You go into most or just about all major ports, and at the entrance there'll be a 20, 25-foot, 35-foot statue of Kuan Yin.
Wow.
We have to understand deeply inside ourselves the importance of the Ascended Masters, especially Kuan Yin and others, to the whole concept of wisdom in China and of power. And so it's a different game because of that. And Kuan Yin knows the power and energy that she has in China. And, of course, China has been given the immense opportunity to use its wealth, its power, its wisdom to change the world for the better. And all of us that have been working very hard for the process to continue in the West are now happy that China has now entered the fray with these magnificent philosophical groups with their power and resources, and that now things are happening with what we have diligently done. There are incredible amounts of whistleblowers and lawyers and doctors and people who understand what common law is about, judges, etc., who are working toward reestablishing this energy. And so with this, what is about to happen in this country and around the world, we are changing forever what this world looks like and what it's about. It's an almost unfathomable for the average person to understand the differences that are about to hit us in the next year. It's a tremendous amount. And right now in this immediate period, we will be seeing the beginnings of that, the foundations laid for all of this. So, yay.
I know. It's so exciting.
It is.
So, you know, when they say slay the dragon, were they also referring potentially to the reptilian mind and way of thinking and reacting?
Right. The dragon has many levels. There are dragons. You know, in China, white and black mean almost the opposite of what they mean in this country.
Wow.
You know, the funeral procession in China, everybody'd be dressed in white.
Hmm.
Which, if to a person who knows nothing about the Orient would be considered very odd. But we have to understand white and black mean different things. Red is about culture and prosperity, etc. And you go through all the colors, and you'll see how all these dragons with their colors have a Chinese meaning to them, not a Western meaning to them. And so when we look at them all, so we have to remember the White Dragon Society represents the ending of things, for so there will be beginnings of things.
Mm. That's interesting. Now, there is a gentleman on the internet, and it really resonated to my core, that talks about us trying to understand the hatred and the hostility and the consumption of wanting to bring down the human race through the eyes of the reptilian. And he was saying that it really ultimately got down to the fact that the DNA of the dragons going way, way, way back had occurred and literally catalyzed this whole event. What do you think?
Well, we have to remember that all of us, deep in our hearts, deep in our memories, has memories of the warring dragons in the Galactic Wars. These people looked very much like the epitome in the West of what a demon or a devil would look like. So we remember the red eyes, the brimstone smell, the pointed tails, all that stuff. And we remember it, the little wings and everything. And we remember these were the people who forged forward to try to destroy the light and humanity. And so we have deep in our hearts this thing about these wars of good and evil, good and evil. And this, of course, is what our three-dimensional reality is about. And so when you look at this 3D galaxy that we see around us that actually has higher levels of dimensions, we begin to see how this all relates. I mean, that's why when Lucas did Star Wars, it just rang an unbelievable amount of resonance in all of us, because it was memories that we had in our back of our heads that we barely once in a while have a dream about, and there it was in front of us as a motion picture. So suddenly, all of that came back, all of that good and bad and the wars and all of that. But that's done with now. There's a whole new light out there in the galaxy. There's a whole change in what's happening. The Anchara, the dark energies, are changed. They're no longer doing the stuff that they did, which is all this galactic war. They're not doing that. They're not killing and torturing people. They're doing something entirely different, and they're cooperating with the light. And so what we have to do right now is know that all of that stuff is indeed still stuck in there, but as we become more conscious, we can let it all go. We know now there's peace. But yes, the reptilian background, what they did, is indeed something that happened on this planet as well as all across this broad galaxy, and so we have memories, because after all, when you have certain lifetimes in certain other places in this galaxy, as well as here, you have a memory of it all. And in this limited consciousness, all that memory, because we're in an amnesia-like state, kind of melts together into this crazy, weird stuff that we use as our basic feelings of fear and worry, etc. And so it's there. But what we need to know is to learn, as we get more conscious, learn to just expunge it and just see it as an event that happened and that's gone now. And we are going to create a new reality where that all that reality, all that stuff is no longer there.
And I also think it's really all about learning that we can't play with technologies and sacred truths. You know, that obviously we shouldn't, I should say. And it leads me to my next question, which is, you know, at the time of the fall of Atlantis, what do you feel was the exact moment that Atlantis fell? Did it have a direct correlation with the malevolent manipulation of the crystals?
Oh, yeah.
And do you feel it was like at that moment when they made the decision, or do you think it was an actual physical event that brought, you know, kind of that bam, that major moment where everything started you know, fallen apart.
Well, there was a physical event that happened. They finally had reached the point where they no longer wanted to maintain this isolation of those of their children and generations that had were against them and wanted to reestablish a Lemuria on the surface of the planet. And they wanted to destroy them, and it backfired on them. And so their own deeds, dark deeds which had led to the fall of Lemuria on the surface, led to the people in southern Europe and in what used to be called Ionia, that whole region, to actually bring that moon back on Atlantis, and Atlantis sunk. They were then evacuated, many of them, and went off into a star system, Beta Centauri in Centaurus.
Huh.
Now, they wished the Federation to turn the Earth into permanent ashes and not do anything with it. Of course, that was an impossibility. And we have therefore been spending nearly 13 millennia in this amnesia and in all this pain and sorrow of civilizations being built and destroyed, wars happening, all kinds of crazy stuff happening to us. And now we're here. And finally, after all that stuff, all those cyclings and recyclings, rises and falls, golden ages, etc., we are now ready to go back to what we were before Atlantis fell and be fully conscious beings who want to stay in the light, because that's why we got knocked into limited consciousness. That's why we had our fall, because of the simple fact that they wanted to find a system that would not lead to our death, but would lead to where we could be controlled. And that's what they were attempting to create. They wanted to turn all of us into the light at that time, into a slave-master relationship, which of course the Anunnaki took after the Atlanteans left to the nth degree, and have spent 13 millennia putting us in this little crazy hell, this eternal debt slavery and all other things that they have been doing for the last nearly 13 millennia to maintain their control, their minions' control of us. And now that all is ending. And to that all, I say, hooray, let it happen now, and let's manifest this new reality.
I mean, just to hear you say that, if there isn't a person out there that isn't really stepping back and just the awe and the honor to be here at this time,
mm-hmm.
after all of this and all of the suffering and all the loss of life and all the torture and torment, and to be able to be on the cusp of finally ending that, it's just, it's incredible.
It is. It's unbelievable, as a matter of fact.
So here is I think this is an awesome question, if I do say so myself. They say that God will return and peel back the heavens like a scroll. And even the alchemists have mentioned that if we step out of this sphere of reality, we really meet oblivion. Can you comment on that and prepare us for what you think we would see?
Okay, what we're about to see is a new prosperity, a new reality, new governance, which will lead us to the landings, which then allows us to be transformed in the crystal light chambers into fully conscious beings. And then our reality is to create a new star nation, which will be this set of planets. And then we are able, using our abilities and our immense potential, to help bring even greater to other civilizations and other star nations across this civilization that we call this galaxy, that we're going to transform and give them light bodies, allow ours to complete the process. In other words, the Incharans came, which are the dark energies in this galaxy, around here into this solar system, created this disaster which had led to the Atlanteans creating us, and now we are going to finish that cycle by going out into the galaxy as fully conscious beings and bring the children of Anchara back to being fully conscious, back to having their own Merkabas, back to being people that can unite with all of us and create a galaxy of light and peace. And that's what's happening right now. And so we look at ourselves, we look at what we're doing, and we have to say, wow, we're doing an incredible amount of stuff in a very small period of time, and so Let us all look at that, feel our new growing responsibilities and our new growing consciousness, and let all this stuff that's to happen, the prosperities, the change in governance, the teachings by the Ascended Masters, the rising of the galactics among us, let us all do that. Let's become a part of this galaxy again. Let's move into other higher dimensions as well. Let's achieve what we came here to do. Let's finish this process, because ultimately we came to this planet to be Gaia's guardians, and also guardians of other places like Mars and Venus, etc. And so what we need to do is just move forward and achieve our purpose. And thank Gaia for all that she has done in lowering her energies on the surface of this planet to allow us to survive. And then let's help her raise back up into her fully galactic crystal self. And then let us move forward and do all those amazing things that we are potentially capable of.
Right on. Well, let's do it.
Right.
Well, what I want you to also comment on, though, is when they talk about peeling back the heavens like a scroll, is that something where are we going to see the same sky? Is there still going to be stars? You know, is it going to be radically different than what we see now?
Well, the only thing that's going to happen is the firmaments, which used to exist on this planet, the two levels, one at about 17,000 to 18,000, another one at about 35,000 to 38,000 feet. Both of them will return, and we will begin to see, because they're like huge magnifying glasses, we'll be able to see through that telescope far, far into the period of what is going on out there. We're able to see that. One of the things that has been noted, and you get to very ancient civilizations and you see its star chart, they have stars in those charts that, except with like a 50-inch telescope or something like that, you can't see. So that means that there were indeed civilizations that made these charts up when these firmaments were up.
Mm.
And what the firmaments also did was allow us to be bigger and taller, live longer, because we would live at least 1,000 years.
Right.
So all of us need to fully understand that indeed when we're talking about peeling the heavens, all we're really doing is reestablishing the firmaments. One of the things that people have discovered, and NASA, of course, naturally puts it out once and then doesn't say anything if you even ask them to comment on it, they have found crystalline remnants that represent the two original moons of our planet. Mm-hmm. You know, the real moon that we have up there is not really a moon per se. It's an artificial thing that was part of what is called Maldek by many who take the old Sumerian name, or which I like to use in my writings to use the word, the Roman word for peace, which is Pax, and call that big, huge water planet, which was 3.5 times the size of our planet, as Pax. And it had 5 moons. The outer moon, the 5th one, was artificial. And one of the things that they have discovered, and they don't talk about, is that when you look at a lot of the rocks on the moon, or the walls of the so-called craters, is that there are written on them, just like you'd see in the Dakotas and Montana, et cetera, huge rock walls of fossils.
Wow.
Which indicates that at one time the moon had water, and those of see the remnants, the remnant atmosphere it has right now with a minor bit of distortion. So you know the moon at one time had an atmosphere and had oceans and continents just like the planet Earth that we live on right now. So we have to look at this, and of course the craters and everything are not caused by asteroids. They were caused by the blast from the Federation coming back in, and the moon, when the planet was blown up by the Federation, because it was the center for Antara in this particular solar system, it caused the asteroid belt, and it caused the moon to be put in a special section between Mars and Earth, and eventually it was used to replace one of the two moons. And when the other moon went down, which is the moon that destroyed Atlantis, one moon was left. And of course, one moon worked perfectly when you lowered the density, in other words, the frequency of the surface of this planet. So really, we have two worlds. We have a fully conscious inner Earth that extends beyond our surface of our planet, which we can't see, because the fifth dimension is another reality. We won't know about it until we are fifth dimensional beings again. And that's why the Earth has to expand. It will include that and reunify and recrystallize itself as a whole being. Right now, it's two worlds. The world, fully conscious inner Earth, and the limited conscious outer Earth. And of course, one of the lies that they love to throw at us is that the geology says that the Earth is solid, which is a big, giant lie. But anyway, matter of fact, all planets are hollow. If you look at all the satellite pictures, you'll see the hollow hole in the south pole of Mercury. You'll see the north polar hole of Mars. Apollo 14 coming back in took a beautiful picture of the north polar hole of Earth. Planets and are hollow. It's a whole different geology. And so I just look at everything that's happening from the Big Bang Theory all the way down to the Earth, and it all it's proving is that there is an electric universe. The basis of how this electric universe works is through fractals and spirals. And so if you ever get somebody to fully look at just our planetary system, you'll see how the sun-moon system operates, and that the Earth and all the other planets are actually spiraling around a spiraling sun. And this is something that has been known for a long time. Of course, it does not get out there except by people who are then called weird because they show you the truth.
Well, and I would think people would not have a difficult time believing that the planets are hollow, because everything, the core of life itself, is based on the sound and the tone.
That's right.
So why wouldn't planets be the same, you know?
Exactly.
Question for you. Apparently, you know, there still is a lot of discussion about some astral wars going on. Things have really heated up because of the fact that Mother Earth is getting very, very aligned and ready to make this transition. Number one, I'd like to know, do you feel that the rebel Pleiadians still exist? Are they still around?
They're still around, but they have changed. They call themselves, in our history, is the Anunnaki.
Okay.
They have changed sides. They understood when the Treaty of Inchar happened in 95, basically, they changed sides. And that kept us going, because if they had stayed around, 96 to 98 was when we were supposed to be changed permanently into being limited conscious beings against the rule of heaven. It would have caused a whole unbelievable chaotic situation. The Anunnaki basically left, and in 95, 96, they begged their minions, the cabal of this running this present world, to give it up, to let everything go, and to join the light. And of course, they refused, and luckily, they did not have any of the guile or ability of the Anunnaki, and so they have made some initial successes and then followed those initial successes with massive failures. And that, I have to say, is what has allowed us to be where we are today, on the edge of success. Because if they had done what they wanted to do, namely to actually carry out the original guidelines from their Anunnaki overlords, we wouldn't be in this condition right now. So I'm happy that everything is happening. Like they say, the universe has a way to make sure that even those who desperately want to go against the flow suddenly discover that they can't do that anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And I was also curious what you thought about it. It feels to me, just from my own messages and the intel that I've received, it seems to be down to three core groups that we're so-called up against. And that, in my opinion, is the Anunnaki Orion faction. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The NSA Nazi faction. And then you still have a bit of the leftovers. Of course, the Khazarian Mafia, which is related to that. And then the Cabal, Rockefeller, Rothschilds. So,
well,
can you comment on that?
Well, you can take the Anunnaki group out. They switched sides.
So you really feel 100% they're, like, switched.
They're switched. If they hadn't switched, we wouldn't be here. We'd be some lobotomized, genetically destroyed being right now.
That's really scary. Now, how about the other ones that I mentioned?
Oh, they're still trying, but they're losing desperately right now. All their basic efforts to try to maintain the process that the Anunnaki set up by the mid-1990s has. Initially, there was some success. It's called 9/11 in 2001, and the resultant wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. But after that, all the stuff that they wanted to do, they had all kinds of monstrous evil plans, have failed. And that is what has led up to the present oil crisis, the fall of the dollar, and this present government being on the verge of collapse. And that's why I say they made enough major mistakes, and those people who were the whistleblowers, the legal people, the people involved with making sure that there was a new financial system and changing the whole world trade network is succeeded, because if they had maintained their power, such aspects of reality would not have happened, because also along the way they thoroughly and massively alienated the military from continuing on. You know, you can take people and put them in harm's way for what seems like ridiculous reasons for only so long before the people who really understand in that group, the military, what's going on, rebel and work out how to cooperate with other people around the world to create a change. And that is fortunately what has happened. And because of all of this, the oil, the military shift, etc., the government's inability to continue as it has, that's why we're on the verge of success. And everybody who, even if they don't know about the overall plan and are dealing with the economics or the governmental aspects, talk about this collapse. The Fed is, you know, on its last legs. The IRS will go with it, because the IRS is no more than the funding instrument for the Fed. And, of course, the Fed is really a group of people from Europe, the European, the old evil European families, and the major group. We can call it the Rockefeller-Bush crime family. You can call it whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
This group is allied with it, and of course they are going away. I mean, you look at the way Jeb Bush in this entire election process is looking at. People are ignoring him. And that's what we want to happen to the planet, is for people to ignore on a large scale what's happening. And they are doing that. They're moving away from the dollar, they're moving into a whole new trade system, a whole new financial system, and that changes the aspects and power of the government we have over in Washington, and
yes,
that is changing as well.
Yes.
So, yay.
Yeah, no kidding. Long time needed. Now, I'm sure, Sheldon, you've been hearing this a lot, and I'd like to know, what are your views on why are so many of us having insane dreams of war and running for our lives and being chased and literally in war and battle action at this time? Where is that conflict taking place?
We are expunging all that energy. Think of what all of us have been involved in, those who have reincarnated again and again on this planet have been involved in. Everywhere there was wars, persecution, more wars, more persecution.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gone on for millennia. So the whole process has been ingrained in us. And so one of the ways that the operation of moving us toward full consciousness needs is to expunge all of that. So we've been having dreams where all that has come out. And also when you dream of war a lot, it's about the unsettling of who you are. You're at war with yourself. So what we're doing is we're fighting to end this limited conscious stuff. We all have different fears and worries and all that, and we're letting it go. And that's how you let it go a lot of times, is with strange, weird dreams like that.
Very interesting. So you really do not believe that there are any external battles going on at this time outside our solar system?
No, I don't.
Interesting.
The whole process that happened in 95 was about galactic peace. We're the last little piece of that puzzle. So I know that there are people from all over the place, both from the former Anchara countries or star systems, or star nations, whatever you want to call them, and those from the Federation, and they've come together and they're out there watching us. Of course, the non-human types, they can't quite come in fully yet when there is landings, because when we see anybody from Orion or from the original parts of Anchara, we immediately think of dinosaur people. And of course, to us, dinosaur immediately, with it's all these movies we've had lately, terror,
yeah.
Worry, fear.
When in actuality, I've heard that the dinosaur race is just awesome.
It is. It is.
I've heard that from several people. Now, you know, a lot of conversation was heating up in the last year or so about the pole shift, and it's really kind of died down lately. What is the status of the shifting of the poles at this stage?
Well, we're really not having a shifting of the poles the way we think of it. There have been some pole shifts in the past, which have moved north to south and south to north. What we're having now is we're getting ready to create a monopolar system where one pole is on the inside, which will be in the core, the, what shall we call it, the glowing central core of the planet, which floats in around and maintains light and energy for Agartha, and the one on the outside. So what we're having is this shift, and this is something that has been going on. I mean, in 95, I had a bunch of people tell me about how scientists in Antarctica were noticing how the South Pole was moving inward. And we also know that the ionic energies of the aurora borealis is moving south. So what is happening is the poles are getting ready to shift from a dipolar, limited conscious planet to a fully conscious monopolar planet. And that's basically the most important way to create the energies we're talking about is with magnets that are monomagnets. And this is something that if you really look at the energies of how these various systems of anti-gravitational propulsion operate, that's the basis of it. And so we need to understand that some of the basic laws of physics, and I'll put quotes around it, are speculation.
Mm.
And when you fully apply and you go beyond it and you understand how this new system operates, it goes like many people who have looked at it in the secret dark government projects say, you go beyond present physics, and indeed you do. Because we're talking, and this is how Cyril's system operated, was with these monopolar systems. And so we are going to develop all of this when we create this anti-gravitational craft, and we're going to also mirror that in many ways. We are going to be a crystalline monopolar system, which has one system on the inside and another system on the outside. And it changes exactly how the aura looks, because then it's not simply an ionic system of the spiritual aspects of us. It becomes the basis of how we move our crystal energy around. So it's a lot different.
Interesting. Now, is that equivalent to the fact that we will become completely non-bipolar in the way that we see, think, and feel?
Right.
Interesting. Wow.
That's
something to ruminate on for a while.
Yes. When you really start to think about this whole process, and that's what, when I first got to it and when I was a teenager, and I was fully realizing the whole process, I was trying to figure out how to use quantum physics to explain all of this. And of course, the minute I would talk about quantum physics to anybody back then, and that's when the ancient era of the 60s, over half a century ago, you discovered that quantum physics was looked down upon. It was looked down upon. They didn't understand it, and now you've got these advanced quantum theories. But the even more important was this monopolar stuff. And I was trying to figure out how to put that in there. I didn't realize that Searle had invented that. The reason why I found out about Searle was that in the early 80s, I met a man who had worked with Searle for quite a period of time, and he explained the monoatomic aspects of what he was talking about with the monogravitational fields and how it operated to create a generator that worked on what we could call here free energy or zero-point energy or space energy or whatever moniker you want to throw on it as your item of interest. So when I saw how different the physics was, when you're on the ships, you see how integrated the ships, the fields, the people, anything on it is, and how it leads to optimization. When they would put this special field around me so I could live in this five-dimensional reality. And you would absorb it. You would look at it, and you would see what it did. And you would see these amazing beings and how they could be transparent and very real all at the same time. They knew how to up and lower their frequency levels and change their composition with ease. To them, it was almost like playing marbles. They knew exactly what to do. Yeah. It was interesting to watch. I also was enthralled by their technology, by their wisdom, and especially by all the wonderful love that Washta and his aides gave me. And I kept asking him, I want to stay here.
Yeah, I don't blame you. My gosh. Well, and so your whole key aspect here is integration of the all is. So
that's
basically
right.
We at this stage are not living in integration with the all is.
No, we're not. We're living, well, we have a crazy world. We dig holes in the earth and talk about taking out minerals. We farm the planet. We don't understand how life works. All we understand is life is somehow a miracle, and there's these conditions that have to happen. You know, it's just speculation. We don't know any of that. As a matter of fact, physics basically, when it comes to astrophysics, knows less than 5% of what's really going on up there. All the rest is speculation. And same thing with science here. It's speculation. For instance, they're just talking about gravity waves. Way back in 94, when we had the encounter on Jupiter, we found out, at least I found out, because I used to listen to it for hours, the scientists would talk about and show me graphs, and then after that, it was never shown again, of gravity waves. So we've known about gravity waves for over 20 years.
Amazing.
So I look at all of this, and I say to myself, yeah, science is actually, majority of it is speculation. There are no real laws, per se. There's things that appear in the physical universe that we know. In other words, the world of solid tables and marbles and all that stuff, that this is how it operates. If you take a ball and you, at a certain force, throw it against another set of balls, we can determine exactly what vectors will occur and the acceleration, in other words, the velocity of all the different balls once they're hit. Okay, that's called Newtonian physics. And then we get into the next level, which is Einsteinian, which we talk about speculation even higher of what is light and how does it affect everything. And, of course, that's erroneous. There's faster than light vehicles. I mean, I went between Earth and Sirius B in less than 7 minutes. Now it's 8.3 light years away. Now to do that means I have to be faster than light, right?
Right.
I did it within this universe.
Yes.
So I say to myself, basically, Einstein was close to figuring it out, but not quite. But in terms of all the stuff that was available around to explain things, his seemed a little better. So he got all the accolades.
Well, but And I was just going to, let me just interject. So much of our science is based on Einstein, but, you know, everything is based on, quote, a theory.
That's right. Theory is, in one big word, speculation.
Exactly. And Einstein, if you really research him, he was influenced just like what we were talking about regarding Sitchin. He was influenced to release information that wasn't necessarily true by the elite.
Well, his whole theories went contrary to what Tesla was talking about.
Right.
Tesla had a much better idea. Matter of fact, Tesla one time told Einstein to his face that his theories were no good. I mean, Tesla really should have been adopted and accepted in the early part of the 20th century, and his concepts of the world brought forth. But that would have totally changed the world, because then the manipulation of monies for electricity would have gone away. Because if you've got a source of electricity that every time you turn it on increases by 12 times, it keeps increasing by 12 times, mm-hmm. keeps increasing by 12 times, soon you don't need a generator, you don't need anything except a special antenna, and all of a sudden it's almost impossible to regulate because there's so much of it going around. How do you regulate the ocean?
Correct. And they don't want to lose control of that, do they?
No, they didn't. Especially, you have to remember, electricity had first come in the 1890s, and 10 years later, Mr. Tesla was talking about creating an ocean of energy that would allow for everything, communications as well as energy, and flight. He wanted to create an energy system where you could then wirelessly send energy to ships, and that would then run them. They would be electrical. And so the whole concept of aviation, which was first being created, communications, and he also explained to a lot of people how to create computers, etc., back in the 1920s.
Jeez.
And so when you get into Tesla and you begin to look at what he did and the immensity of what he created, as in 1956, when they had the 100th anniversary of his birth, they called him the man who created the 21st century.
Huh. Well,
that to me shows me something.
What?
That's 100 years. That was 50 years ahead.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and, I kind of go by the saying that if you see headlines and you see so much force talking against a particular individual that's coming out with information, mm-hmm. you can pretty much go to the bank knowing that it's probably really real.
Yeah, you can.
You know, I mean, what is presented is always the flip-flop of what really is.
Exactly. Now,
I want to ask you one other thing about, there's been many proposed suggestions that we are in this soup that you're talking about of 13 millennia because we chose to do this because we got bored. What is your response to that?
Is it because we what?
Because we got bored.
No, we got tricked.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to hear you say that. Hey, Sheldon, what is your feeling about the moon and the programs, the very detrimental programs that are still being emitted from the moon, such as the Montauk victims, that kind of thing. What is your take on that?
Okay. When I look at the moon, you have to realize the moon was used for many, 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 many centuries and many, many millennia as a observation point. So people have been up there and watching us. Now, what Montauk and all that stuff is about is a full, not quite full understanding of what space-time continuum is really about. And it caused all these giant anomalies to occur. And I look at the Philadelphia experiment, I look at Montauk, I look at all of that. The United States government denies it, but they, for a long, long time, have kept going with all kinds of crazy, weird experiments. And luckily, with the ending of this government, all of this stuff can finally be revealed. And the amazing degree of inventions and things can finally be explained. Now, the first 20 years, which starts with the 1940s, up to the 1960s, there was a lot of not quite knowing what was happening. They then began to interact with, let's just call them the Orionites, for kind of put them in a word. And they began to then understand better what was happening. And since the mid-60s on, which is roughly another 50 years, they have taken all this stuff and gone beyond it. So when I see anything about Montauk or stuff like that, that's ancient stuff. They've gone way beyond all of that, and they've understood, and they've tried to cooperate with the Orionites. They even tried to keep Atlantis from sinking, and they tried it quite a bit a number of times, and each time failed until they finally gave it up. But they had actually discovered time travel, how to travel using transdimensional travel, so you can get from one place to another very quickly. They have ships, but all of these ships are primitive compared to, even with the 50-year advance of research and technology monies, are still pretty primitive compared to the Federation, because remember, the Federation has had millions of years, not decades, to perfect this. Mm. And so I look at all of this and, wow, you know, we have, speaking of San Diego, we have ships coming out of Vandenberg that were for a long time being launched. And they were basically one of the first ships, spy ships that they had that was manned, that was using this modern propulsion system, anti-gravity, whatever. The Navy kind of got into this whole thing with its secret programs. And so they called the first spy ship up there with anti-gravity and all kinds of things like that. They called it the Enterprise, which I thought was fun. But anyway,
are you serious?
I'm serious. There's a thing in San Diego. It's called the Naval Space Command.
Yes.
They're in charge of all of that.
Yeah,
they have this big, huge building in southern San Diego.
There's
south
just
of downtown.
There's a ton of military in San Diego. Just a ton of military institutions. You know, you name it, they're here.
Right.
They're
and the Navy is there big time because they have been there ever since the 1880s.
Yes. Yes. It's truly a naval town. It still has that flair, you know?
Right.
Definitely. Well, I had one other question for you, and then, you know, we can tie things up. You have mentioned in your previous webinars about the 12 nodes of the planet, that they're, you know, these are nodes where they're the conjunction
right.
of all the major ley lines, and then there's 12 of those, and then there's 144 subnodes.
Right.
Are those going to change location after
minorly,
the time
minorly.
Of the shift?
Minorly, because the nodal system and how the grid system of the surface of the planet is will change, because it's changing from this lower consciousness, shall we call it carbon, dirt, whatever you want to call it, to a more crystalline section. So there'll be a slight change.
Okay.
But basically, the Earth has always been a 12-sided crystal. And you go back to the ancient Greeks, and they knew it. Chinese knew it. And so we have to really understand that there's this overlay with the 12 and the 20.
Yes.
And that's why when you get into the Mayans or a lot of other ancient civilizations, you see mentioning of all of this. They knew about the grid system. They knew about the history of the planet. They knew how it's transformed itself from a 12-sided crystal to this slightly changed version, which is what we have today, which is what the grid system I'm talking about is about. And so these nodes, like if it's like Table Rock in South Africa or Mount Shasta or a bunch of other places, when you begin to look at all of this, you see that all of this knowledge, all of this system of how it operates has been known for a long time, and modern science has basically abandoned it, but it's being forced secretly in its black ops projects to embrace it again, because that is the basis of how the planet operates.
Mm.
And of course they also realize, and that's why they have a lot of these deep inner earth things trying to get down into Agartha, and of course being stopped, is they are attempting to integrate the old and the new, and of course they are not allowed to do that, because they have very dark thoughts about what they want to do with it, whereas the Agarthans and others of the light do not wish to do that. And of course Gaia herself wishes to, as I said, reunite itself.
Yes.
Because it has had to create two worlds in one. And there was just the surface world with a lower density, and the fully conscious higher density inner earth world of Agartha. And so they would like to have us become fully conscious, shift how we are and what we're about, and allow itself to integrate all of this wonderful planet as one world while we're shifting into full consciousness beings again.
Good point. And I like to remind people too, is we are at a place where the desires of Gaia, the desires of the enlightened ones, and the desires of all of the allied forces are overriding the desires of the dark at this stage of the game.
Exactly. Perfectly put.
And people keep forgetting that. They go back to the old ways of, oh, God, the dark did this, and they got away with that. And so let's just end this with, are you in agreement that the way that the transition is going to unfold is arrests, announcements, and then landings? Do you agree with that?
I would say it's money's coming out, the fundings, the change in governance, which will then lead to mass arrests, the Ascended Masters doing what they need to do to get us into a position to accept the landings. While that's happening, they're communicating with us, and finally there's the landings, the Mandarin, and then the finishing project, which is finally to get us into those light chambers in Agartha and change the whole process while the Earth rocks and rolls up here and changes its dimensional realities and creates a planet that is more equal between land and ocean. So we go from a place that's about 72% water to one that's roughly 50-50. And all the lost continents will come back up.
That is so interesting that you said it that way. So, you know, really what you're saying is really getting a balance within the emotional bodies.
Exactly.
Wow, that's very cool. Thank you for that. Wow. Well, Sheldon, as always, I always thoroughly enjoy interviewing you, and I look forward to talking to you more now that I've gotten settled with my move
okay,
and everything.
Yeah. I just want to mention one quick little finale.
Sure, please do.
Which is our webinar, which is called After Abundance.
I was just going to ask you to do that. Please do.
Okay. And so the first one is on Thursday, which is the 24th of February, and it's at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And the second one will be on Sunday, which is the 28th of February, and that will be at 12 noon Pacific time. It's only $15 for entrance to both of them. So just get to our website, which is www.paoweb, that's one word, paoweb.com, and look there, and you'll see where to go for the webinars. It's usually where the updates are, and you can then subscribe, which I'm looking forward to. So I just wanted to get that in there real fast.
No, you beat me to the punch. And
okay.
Hey, listen, everybody, this is one juicy webinar. You're not going to want to miss it. He's going to be going over the types of technologies that are going to be released, what it will be available after the landings, how to manage your funds, how will your lifestyle change, how long after the abundance program will the landings arrive. I mean, some really core questions that we're all wondering about. And as you can see, Sheldon's really got some serious connections with our buds upstairs. Right, Sheldon?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, everybody. Well, we want to send you lots of love. Please, once again, visit Sheldon's site at paoweb.com. And as always, continue to visit galacticconnection.com. We have a blog that runs 365 days a year. We do appreciate any support that you can provide us at this time. We have really been up against a lot of hackers. Obviously, what we're doing is right. And continue to check us out for some new stuff that's just about to get launched, and we're really excited about it. As always, you know about our world-renowned implant removal process and all the other cool things we have. My Violet Ray Alchemy, we're coming up with some new things for that as well. Take care, everyone. You have an awesome rest of the week. And as always, I know Sheldon and I wish you well and abundance and peace and harmony and the new galactic you. Right, Sheldon?
Exactly. Well put there. Very nicely done.
Okay, everyone. Take care. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for calling and allowing me to talk. Have this wonderful conversation.